Hi everyone, welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Oh, hi there. I was just working on one of my inventions here. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but you can call me Whit. And this is Odyssey. Hey, let's see if this thing works. Whoa. Hold it! Okay, so it needs a little more work. But that's the exciting part, because you never know what you'll discover along the way. Oh, don't take my word for it, though. You can find out for yourself when you come along on today's Adventures in Odyssey.
Again, this is Chris. I'm talking with, what is your name again?
Big Bill Braggart.
Oh, okay. Now, I understand you've started a new club.
Yeah, that's right. It's called the Legion of International Exaggerators, or as we like to call it, Lie.
Lie?
Dedicated to stretching the truth as far as it'll go.
Well, I'm a bit confused here. Just what is it that your club does?
Well, we exaggerate everything, of course. We take a subject and make it either bigger or better or smaller or worse than it really is.
I see. Well, how many people belong to your club?
Oh, millions!
Really?
Sure, people all over the universe belong to the Lie.
Oh, I get it. You're exaggerating right now, aren't you?
You catch on faster than anybody I know.
Well, why do you do this?
Because regular conversation is boring. There's nothing worse. Oh. Exaggeration livens it up, don't you think?
Actually, no. Oh. I don't. Oh. I think the truth is always more exciting than exaggeration.
You do?
Sure.
I don't believe it. And I don't think other people do either.
Well, unfortunately, I know at least one person who would agree with you.
No kidding!
Yeah, her name is Leslie, and we're going to meet her on today's adventure in Odyssey.
Sounds like my kind of person.
Well, I don't know about that, but she does learn a very important lesson about stretching the truth and the ways it can hurt people.
Oh, brother.
What's so funny?
And you said you didn't like exaggeration.
I don't.
Oh, come now. You just said this Leslie person learns an important lesson about how stretching the truth can hurt people.
Yeah, so?
Stretching the truth can't hurt anyone. You're exaggerating!
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't believe me, why don't you just listen to today's adventure and find out for yourself, okay?
All right, I will. When does it start?
Right after these messages. Have a seat.
Great. I just love these breaks, don't you?
Be quiet. A while back, Leslie told Mr. Whittaker a wild and crazy story about how terrible her teacher is. Well, I don't think her perception of her teacher has changed much. You see, she just got out of class, and right now she's standing at her locker, talking to herself about him. Let's see if we can hear what she's saying. Come on.
Boy, what did I ever do to deserve a teacher like Mr. Gutwrench?
Leslie!
All I do is make one little innocent statement and pow-wee, homework.
Leslie!
There should be a law against teachers who scare kids.
Leslie!
Oh! Lucy, you scared me.
I've been calling you all the way down the hall.
Well, just because I didn't hear you doesn't mean you have to scream in my ear, does it?
I didn't scream in your ear.
Well, it sure seemed like it to me.
Sorry. Why didn't you answer?
I guess I was just thinking.
What about?
About why they let teachers scare their kids.
What on earth are you talking about?
My teacher, Mr. Gutwrench.
You mean Mr. Garrison?
You call him what you want to call him, and I'll call him what I want to call him. He's the meanest man alive.
He can't be that bad.
Oh, yeah? Here we are, just in the second week of school, and already he's loaded us down with homework.
So did my teacher, but I don't think she's mean for doing it.
That's only the start. Last week, he embarrassed me in front of the whole class by making me take off my sweater when I had a rip in my dress. Then, he made us all get up and tell what we did during the summer. And just because he didn't like my answer, he made me write "I will make better use of my time" about a jillion times.
A jillion?
You know what I mean. But that was nothing compared to today. We were doing geography, and I was at the front of the class.
What do you mean you don't know the per capita exports of Tanzania, Linda?
I'm Leslie.
You are who I say you are. You got that?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry I don't know the answer.
Sorry? Sorry don't cut the mustard.
Shouldn't that be doesn't cut the mustard?
Are you presuming to correct my grammar? Just for that, the whole class has to write a book report on the first 400 pages of War and Peace tonight! Quiet! You can do your reports right after you finish your advanced calculus homework. And by the way, I better not see so much as one decimal point out of place in those calculus problems tomorrow either.
He makes you do advanced calculus?
Well, that's what it seems like to me. But wait till you hear what happened next.
All right, class, I have a surprise for you. We're going to have a spelling bee. And since you're already standing up, Lana, you get the first word.
Me?
Yes, you! And the word is supercilious. All right, go!
Come on! S-U-P-E-R-C-I-L-I-O-U-S?
That's right.
It is?
Well, yeah. But now I want you to use it in a sentence. Well?
I think the spelling bee is supercilious.
Wrong!
Wait a minute. Did he really do that?
Yes. Like I said, he's the meanest teacher in the whole world. Oh!
Oops. Oh, well, hello there, Leslie.
Mr. Gutt, Garrison. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to run into you.
Oh, no. It was my fault. I should have been watching where I was going. Here, let me pick up your books.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
Oh, no trouble at all. Goodness gracious. Why are you taking so many books home, Leslie?
Well, I...
War and Peace? Ooh, that's pretty ambitious. You know, it was just a suggestion. I didn't mean for you to actually read it.
Oh.
After all, you don't want to overdo it on your homework this early in the school year. There. Well, I have to be going now. Oh, by the way, Leslie, don't worry if you're not getting all that math right now. I know fractions can be tough. But I'll go over it very slowly to make sure you understand it all before we move on to something else. Okie dokie?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, don't mention it. Goodbye, girls.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Mr. Gutwrench?
Yeah.
He's not anything like what you said.
Well, he sure seems that way. Sometimes.
Uh-huh. Come on, let's go.
Okay.
You want to go to Wits End on the way home?
Sure. Oh, wait, I forgot. I can't.
Why not?
Because I'm on restriction.
Restriction?
Yeah. My mom put me on it because of what happened last Saturday.
Uh-oh. What did you do this time?
What do you mean, this time?
Okay, calm down. Just tell me what happened.
Well, it all started as I was going over to your house to see if you wanted to go out. We were going to meet Cindy and Ann and...
Wait a minute. Last Saturday? It was raining last Saturday.
I know that. That's why I took my mom's new umbrella.
Hold it. Let me guess. You weren't supposed to take it, were you?
The old umbrella is rusty and full of holes.
Really?
Well, it's ugly. Besides, I just wanted to try my mom's out.
You're the only person I know who has to test drive an umbrella.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have used it. But how did I know someone was going to take it from me?
Someone stole your mother's new umbrella?
Well, not exactly.
Then what exactly?
Well, I sort of gave it away.
Mm-hmm. You gave your mother's new umbrella to some stranger?
Yeah.
Who?
Well, I don't know his name, but he's a cowboy.
A what?
A cowboy, like in the westerns. He had a big cowboy hat and those baggy pants and boots with spurs on him.
Spurs?
Yeah, they were silver and shiny.
Uh-huh. What did he do? Gallop up on his horse, throw a lasso over you, and say, "Excuse me, I was just admiring your mother's new umbrella, and I wondered if you'd let me have it."
No, he didn't throw a lasso over me.
Oh, well, that's good.
He did ride up, though.
In a stagecoach, right?
No, not in a stagecoach.
A horse and buggy?
Do you want to hear this or not?
Oh, sure. I love a good story.
He rode up, in a fire engine.
Mm-hmm, a fire engine.
Yeah, one of those hook and ladder trucks.
I see. Anything else?
Well, the fire engine was, purple.
Purple?
Yeah, purple. Sort of.
Let me get this straight. Last Saturday, you gave your mother's new umbrella to a cowboy in a big hat, baggy pants, and boots with shiny silver spurs on him, who rode up out of the blue in a purple hook and ladder fire engine.
Yeah, that's it. So what do you think?
I think your cowboy sounds a lot like your Mr. Gutwrench.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just that I find all this a little hard to swallow.
Thanks a lot, cousin.
Well, Leslie, you exaggerate everything. Why should I believe you?
But this really happened.
Oh, come on, Leslie, cut it out. It's one thing to make Mr. Garrison out to be Mr. Gutwrench, but the last story was too much. Why didn't you just admit you lost the umbrella or that somebody stole it, instead of making up some crazy story?
I can't believe this. Whatever happened to trusting someone?
Well, you're not exactly a Girl Scout, you know. I mean, you make the boy who cried wolf look like Mother Teresa.
Well, if you feel that way, maybe you want to walk home by yourself.
Where are you going?
Anywhere that's away from you. And one more thing. I hope you remember that you called me a liar the next time I tell you you're my favorite cousin.
Leslie! Leslie! I'm also your only cousin.
Will Leslie stay mad at Lucy? Find out when our adventure in Odyssey continues right after this. And now, the conclusion of today's adventure in Odyssey.
Well, hello there, Lucy. How are you on this great Friday afternoon?
Fine, Mr. Whitaker.
Uh-oh, that doesn't sound too good. Have a bad day at school?
No, school was okay. It was after school that got bad.
Lucy, could you please be a little more clear?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Whitaker. It's just that Leslie's gone and done it again. Made up one of her stories and got herself put on restriction.
She does have quite a talent for telling stories, doesn't she?
You can say that again.
A couple of Saturdays ago, she came in here with the wildest tale about her school teacher.
Yeah, she did the same thing to me today. Only I found out it wasn't true. Because I met him after school.
Really? Well, what was he like?
He was great. I wish he was my teacher.
I thought Leslie's imagination was running a little bit wild.
Yeah, well, if you thought that was wild, wait till you hear what she just told me.
Oh, no. What now?
Remember how it rained last Saturday?
Yeah.
Well, she took her mom's new umbrella when she wasn't supposed to and lost it. Then, to cover up for it, she made up this unbelievable story about how this cowboy with a big hat and baggy pants rode up on a purple hook and ladder fire engine and asked if he could borrow the umbrella.
Oh, my goodness. She really outdid herself this time, didn't she?
Yeah. Mr. Whitaker, why can't I have a normal cousin like everyone else?
Well, at least you're never bored with her.
That's for sure.
Lucy, Leslie just has a different kind of personality, that's all. Now, maybe you should try to accept her a little more.
Accept the way she exaggerates?
No, I didn't say that. Just accept that she's different. Try to think of her as a blessing instead of a bother. You know, a lot of people would love to have Leslie's imagination, as overactive as it is.
Well, I guess I was pretty hard on her. She was really mad when she left.
Leslie bounces back pretty quick.
That's true. One of the good things about her is that she can't hold a grudge for longer than 5 minutes. I just hope she's learned her lesson this time.
Well, I don't think you're going to have to wait very long to find out.
What do you mean?
Here comes Leslie right now.
Well, Beatrice Arnold, I'll accept your apology now.
Beatrice Arnold?
She doesn't look like a Benedict.
What are you doing here? I thought you were on restriction.
I've been ventilated.
I think you mean vindicated, don't you?
That too. You'll never guess who I just talked to.
Christopher Columbus riding a camel?
Very funny. I just talked to the cowboy.
Right. I'm sure you did. Mr. Whitaker, can I have another tall one, please?
I did, I tell you!
Now, Leslie, keep your voice down, please.
Sorry, Mr. Whitaker, but I did talk to him. His name is Jerry Haverman, and he's an actor in the melodrama at the Fun City Amusement Park.
Oh, Leslie.
Wait a minute, Lucy. She may have you there. Fun City did just start a musical melodrama. I read about it in the newspaper last week.
That's right. And Jerry Haverman plays a cowboy in it. So there.
Well, I have to admit that may explain the cowboy. But why did he want your mother's umbrella? And why was he riding in a Purple Hook and Ladder fire engine? Let's see her explain this one.
Well, he was in the fire engine because the Ferris wheel stopped running
and... Here we go again.
Wait a minute, let me finish. See, just before it started raining last Saturday, a bolt of lightning struck the generator that runs the Ferris wheel at Fun City. All the power went dead. They couldn't let the people at the top just sit there, so they sent Jerry the cowboy to the firehouse to get the hook and ladder truck. And that's what they used to get the people down. Sort of like a giant elevator.
But why was the fire engine purple?
Mr. Haverman said they were having the truck repainted, and they had just put on a coat of maroon primer. And outdoors, maroon primer looks purple.
Well, that part sounds right too, Lucy. Come to think of it, Hank Kelly, the fire chief, was in here last week, and he mentioned he was having the hook and ladder truck repainted.
All right. Maybe that's true, but that still doesn't explain the umbrella.
None of the people there had an umbrella, and nobody wanted to get wet when it started raining. So when Jerry and the fireman saw me, he hopped down off the truck and asked me for my mom's umbrella. And that's when I gave it to him.
And now you're trying to give it to us.
Still don't believe me, huh? Well, I thought you might feel that way, so I arranged some proof.
Where are you going?
To get my proof. Come on in.
Mr. Whitaker.
Yes, Lucy?
It's a cowboy.
Oh, yes, it is.
He's wearing a big hat, baggy pants, and boots with shiny silver spurs on them.
So he is. Well, what do you think that means?
Are these the people, Leslie?
Yeah.
Now, looky, folks. I don't know where you've been getting your information, but this young gal is innocent. She was just trying to help me, and I don't think you should disown her for that.
Disown her?
Well, we'll get to that later. Tell them about last Saturday.
Well, folks, my name is Jerry Haverman, and I play cowboy at the melodrama at the Fun City Amusement Park. Yeah. Well, the reason I know she's innocent is because last Saturday I stopped her and asked if I could borrow this umbrella here.
Were you riding on a fire truck?
Well, yeah, I was.
Because the Ferris wheel at Fun City had broken down?
Yeah, how'd you know?
So what you said was true, Leslie.
That's what I've been trying to tell you all along. So there. What do you say now?
I guess I owe you an apology. I'm sorry.
Accepted.
Well, sir, now that everything's been taken care of, I hope you'll reconsider disowning Leslie. It's a very serious thing to tear a family apart, especially over something like this.
That's the second time you've said that.
I can handle it from here, Mr. Haverman. Thanks for coming.
Just a minute. Whatever gave you the idea that I wanted to disown Leslie?
Well, she did, of course. She said you'd kick her out of the family if I didn't come down here and tell you all about what happened last Saturday.
Oh, I couldn't do that even if I wanted to. I'm not related to Leslie.
What? You aren't?
No, sir, I'm not. My name is John Whitaker, and I own this place.
Now, wait just a minute. Leslie, are you going to be kicked out of your family or not?
Well, not exactly.
Oh, Leslie.
You mean to tell me there was no emergency? I took time off of work to come down here and vouch for you for nothing?
Not for nothing. There was an emergency. I needed you to prove that I didn't lose my mother's umbrella. And it worked. Thanks.
You never learn, do you?
I'm terribly sorry you had to come down here, Mr. Haverman. Look, the owner of Fun City is a friend of mine. I'll call him up and explain the situation and ask him not to dock you any pay.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Whitaker. Oh, and Leslie.
Yeah?
Next time I'm riding in a fire truck and I see you on the street holding an umbrella...
Yeah?
I'm going to tell the driver to turn the hose on you. Here's your umbrella back.
Boy, what a hothead.
Leslie, how could you do that to him? Sometimes you make me so mad. I don't even want to be around you. Mr. Whitaker, I'm going to take my root beer upstairs. I don't like the company around here anymore.
I had to prove I was right. Maybe now when I tell you something, you'll believe me.
I'm not so sure about that, Leslie.
But why, Mr. Whitaker? Didn't I prove I was innocent?
Yes, but how did you do it? By exaggerating.
Well, how else was I going to get Mr. Haverman to come down here?
How about by telling the truth?
I told Lucy the truth this afternoon, and she didn't believe me.
It hurts when people don't believe you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'll bet it hurts to be in trouble most of the time, too. You ever wondered why you get into so much trouble, Leslie?
I don't know.
You know, to a pretty large degree, people judge each other by the things they say. A good part of your reputation is built by your words. And lately, the thing that people hear coming out of your mouth is, you're not going to believe this. Or, it sure seemed like it to me. Well, you've built a reputation on exaggeration. You get yourself into trouble, and then you concoct some wild tale to get out of trouble. And then, when something truly strange happens, like it does from time to time...
Like it did last Saturday.
Like it did last Saturday. Is it any wonder people don't believe you when you try to tell them about it?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Sometimes exaggerating a story can be very funny, but there's a fine line between exaggeration and out-and-out lying. And what you told Mr. Haverman stepped way over that line.
Is that why everyone gets so mad at me? Why Lucy got so mad?
Yes. Trust is a very fragile thing. You see, once it's broken, it takes a long time to build it back up again. You're right. It does hurt to have people not believe you. Hurts real bad. But when someone you trust lies to you, well, that's the worst hurt of all. Maybe you'd better think about that for a while.
Lucy? Lucy, up here?
Yeah, I'm over here. What do you want?
I just wanted to tell you that Mr. Whitaker was right.
About what?
He said I owe you an apology. I'm sorry, Lucy. I thought those stupid stories weren't hurting anyone. But now I know I was wrong. I promise to try very hard not to exaggerate anymore.
Well, that's all right. I accept your apology. And I promise to try to trust you more from now on, too.
I'm awfully glad to hear that.
Why?
Well, you remember that dress you let me borrow last month?
Yeah.
Well, you're not gonna believe this.
Oh, Leslie!
Kidding! I'm just kidding.
I'm glad Leslie and Lucy worked everything out between them. And I'm sure Leslie will think twice before she exaggerates again, too. Sometimes it's difficult to know just where that line between exaggeration and lying is. But the Bible gives us some guidelines that makes it a lot clearer. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs." And Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." In other words, next time you're tempted to exaggerate, ask yourself if the things you say will build others up and be pleasing to God. And if they aren't, then maybe you better not say them. Don't you agree, Bill?
Well, since you proved it, I guess I have to, don't I?
I'd say so.
Oh, all right. I agree it's not good to exaggerate. And I'm going to stop.
Really?
Yes, I promise I'll never, ever, ever exaggerate again. Not in a million, billion, zillion, quadrillion,
Bill,
quintillion.
Bill.
Oh, sorry. Old habits are hard to break.
So I see. Maybe you need to listen to this program again. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. It Sure Seems Like It to Me was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Bob Luttrell. And our executive producer was Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.